Welcome to the Ross, L and Luke Show. We're Aussie blokes, we're dads, and we're entrepreneurs. Between us, we've made a lot of mistakes and learned a few things about life, love, relationships, communication, and business. And we're here to share those with you. You may get three different perspectives, or you may get one universal agreement. But whatever you take away from today, you can be guaranteed we enjoyed delivering it to you. Luke, you were talking about the challenges of having staff and running a business in today's world.
But that's the hardest step for me as a business owner is relationships and people. And I don't grind at it. I really work at it to have those deep, meaningful relationships. And it's not a... It's hard. Yeah? It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Because that also is not normal for us to have that with anyone.
Yeah.
You know, to have a deep connection with anyone is kind of unusual in today's society. And we're getting more and more so. You know, today's becoming a world of social media. We just spoke about the apps on our phones, and I got, you know, over 60 messages in less than a day. And like, for what? Like, what is the benefit to the world of those messages?
Now, we're saying it is. Are we saying it is? Or are we saying it was? Or are we saying it could be?
Could be what?
Well, we are saying something like it's black and white here.
Right. Well, that was a question, really. Like, yeah. I actually asked that as a question.
So,
because I do not see the amazing value out of social media. Like, it's not going away. Like, because of who we are as people, we have this need to interact. Like, we're interactive beings. Where
it's not going away.
It's not going away.
Could it go away?
It's going away. It's whatever you choose to. If people are going to have enough foresight or insight around knowing when to switch it off and when it's, you know, obviously we've said this before, when it's contributing to your life or when it's taking away. So just to even have that awareness is key, because there's always going to be new apps, you know, like it's infiltrated our lives it's amazing, you know, and young kids as well are so... but like sponges, they're saying, you know, why on Facebook and stuff, because it's going to be... 2 hours of, you know, or say 20 minutes connecting with your closest friends and 2 hours of just bullshit information that is literally channeled for you.
Yep. To sell you shit. The communication with friends.
Yeah.
It's not empowered. Like, most of that communication with friends is not an amazing inspirational conversation that you come out of finishing, you know, your however long you spent on that app.
Yeah.
And you go off and you go, wow, I'm so excited. That's not what happens. That's not the conversations that we're having today.
Yeah.
You know, the adults don't have the skills to give that to the children. The teachers don't have the skills to give that to the children. Nobody has the skills anymore to have those kind of conversations. The tribe is devolving into individuals. Like, it used to be a community. In a tribal basis, you look at it, you know, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, we might have shared a one room house. And the whole family, three generations, slept in the same bed.
Yeah.
You know, that just kind of boggles my mind in today's world.
We can say that poverty and sad right now.
Yeah, exactly.
But then we
have a look at what's happened. Like, that has broken down. Like, it went from a full tribe where, you know, just say a tribe of Indians where you've got the elders that look after, that watch over everything. They don't do the work. They watch over everyone. If someone's having a tough time, they'll go and they'll... you know, impart their wisdom. They've got a lifetime of learning to be able to share stuff and make a difference to people, and they get to share that. Now, that's not happening. You know, the old people we stick in a home, the wisest ones who have been through the most with the best lessons, we stick them in a home and we visit them once in a blue moon. The parents buy a house that's as big as they can fit on the block. They put their kids in their own room so that no one ever has to talk to each other. So we never get to share any of our wisdom. We never get to share any of the stuff that makes a difference. We don't spend our time inspiring each other.
Yeah.
But kids are now stuck on their social media speaking about whatever or whoever or, you know, whatever that happens to be.
Yeah.
And my kid is in grade or year two. And more than half the class are playing a game called Fortnite.
Yeah.
Which is rated like, I don't know, like 13. Like, so 12, twice their age. And most of the kids in his class are playing it. And I'm like, what's going on? And that's how they spend their time. And the biggest thing about that, why it's apparently a really addictive game, because they're all connecting with each other online.
Yeah.
So what kind of conversations unfiltered 7-year-olds having in a game where one of the main features of it is a dance where you put a big L on your forehead and you dance around holding your genitals.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to say loser to someone. Like,
well, there was an interesting podcast on Joe Rogan, I think it was his last episode, and Professor was talking about the benefits of certain games like that, right? That how they can, you know, teach us different things in life. And I kind of agree with it. Yeah. So to shelter, you know, the kids from, you know, a complete ban on games, you know, I'm not, I don't believe in that. I think some exposure to it is good. Our family particularly hasn't gone down that path of having like gaming consoles and things like that because they're just so active, do you know what I mean, in sports and dancing and things like that. But I did drop one of our kids off to a party. It was an overnight stay, and one of the parents is a gamer. And I'm like, okay, cool, what's a gamer? And you walk into this room and there's like two massive screens. There's two other PCs with four other screens set up in each corner. You got the chairs. And it was like walking into an arcade, yeah?
Yeah.
Dropped him off, had an awesome time, mate. Came around the next day to pick him up. There's one kid in the chair. None of them had slept. They were just about like an hour and a half. They were drinking Fanta and eating cake at like 3 a.m. It's 12-year-olds, right? And
that's normal, by the way, that bit.
But I walked in there and I looked at his mate and I said, "Are you all right?" Like, I just, all I said was, "Are you all right?" I'm thinking, holy fuck, he looks like he's dying. Like, he was dehydrated, his eyes are hanging out of his head. His mum walks in the door, she's a really nice lady. "Okay, your kid's over there, have a look at him." And she turns around and she goes, "What the?" So this was the norm for this other family, right? Yeah. And the mum was like, "Oh, yeah." So she's like, "Did they sleep?" Like, and she's like, "Oh, you know, maybe a little bit." And they're all like, "Nah." Mm. And she's like, "It's time to go." He just didn't even listen.
Nah. Yeah.
I grabbed my little fella, walked out, and he was frail. He's hunched over. He's normally well hydrated. Gets in the mouth. So he looked like he'd been in a car accident. I was like, "What the fuck? What did you eat, man?" He's going, "Oh, we're just eating cake and shit." And he shat through the eye of a needle for about a day and a half. He had stomach cramps when he got home. So this is the norm. And I think they were playing Fortnite. So I'm okay. But just in, you know, short form, just the amount of exposure, I thought, like, this is a parent who sits there and encourages that with his two boys.
Yeah. Like, no. Yeah, some people die because, you know, some young kids have died because they've been stuck on a computer game and, you know, no one's taken responsibility for feeding them or, you know, giving them water or anything, and they've actually died.
Now, what we already care for is demonising this stuff. I'm not
I'm not for that, yeah.
These are tools of leverage. The tools of apparent productivity and leverage. All that's happening is the technology is allowing us to do more things, really.
Yeah.
Or so, do so more things more quickly, or, you know.
Totally. So what's missing for me is the giving of what is useful to kids. Because the kids are now, and the adults as well.
I'm the oldest, born 1970.
Yeah.
How many of the three of us had no television from the moment we were born?
Nah.
Right.
Yep.
So the thing is, we actually cannot, we don't have the right to even talk about it like it's strange because we've grown up fixed to a screen.
Yeah.
Right? So we are actually, we are as big a part of any problem we perceive with our kids because we have been indoctrinated with it from now.
Totally. Totally.
And so we need to go back to pre-television, really, I'd say, to work out, well, what was it really? Because I used to ride my bike and go down the creek and do all that stuff. However, I had an Atari in the late 70s.
Yeah, sure, but there is no time that we need to go to say what was that necessarily like. How about we look at it from a totally new perspective? Like,
fine. Yeah. But then let's do that because we're not doing that right now. We're talking about a scourge, apparent scourge. However, I'm not sure that it is like that. I think there's... So some kids die, sure. More die on the roads, more die probably in the playground.
Sure, many different ways.
Yes. So yeah. I agree there's an issue potentially. However, people that will find a new way to express the same issue forever.
Yeah.
And all technology does is show us a new way to express the same issues.
Yeah. So, but what I'm seeing occurring, though, is the breakdown of the transfer of, I'm just going to call it personal development type skills, like how to cope with life.
Are you sure you're not just suffering the generation gap?
I'm pretty sure I'm not. And we could, you know, sure. It could be anything.
We could probably beat up on how bad gaming is and it contributes to shootings in America, which, like, I mean, so we could sound like old men in 20 years going, well, listen to these guys. You've got no idea. So Al's brought a little bit of differing opinion because I agree with gaming in short amounts. Yeah. So like the benefits of like riding your bike up a hill with your mates for an hour and a half are just fucking better. They're just better than sitting in front of a gaming console for an hour and a half.
What about when you go careering down the hill and crash and get killed by a car?
Yeah. Well, look. Well, but then no. So that's a potential outcome. But in saying that, you're moving your legs, you're building muscle, you're using different senses. So it's just for me personally, it's better health wise long term, right? It's a better investment. But in saying that, with games, it's going to be better on the potentially if you're a chess player, Fortnite's going to increase your ability to play chess, but.
I don't argue with you, by the way.
Look, that's your advocate. It may or may not be, but with technology, my spin on it is that it's a massive distraction, just away from what, just being humans.
Bingo.
And it adds all this pressure, this undue pressure.
Yep.
And whether it's from a commercial perspective, they want to sell us stuff. I mean, we live in a commercial society. But it's that mass distraction. And I don't want to sit here and sound like an old man. How many times have we gone to a restaurant, there's a family there, they're on their fucking phones. You're on your fucking phones. Talk to each other. It's not our right to determine what they do or how they should connect. That's how they connect.
Absolutely.
And potentially from an education level, they don't even know. They've lost that fundamental
skill. They're doing the best they can.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're all, every single one of us, like even the three of us sitting in this room that are running a podcast, we're still doing the best that we can. Like, and none of it's right, none of it's wrong. Everyone's doing the best they can with what they've got.
Yeah, and we shouldn't be judgy. It's just I've observed that, and we could potentially change that, starting with our family and our kids. And I've said to my kids, these things, you'll meet people in your life and you'll just be wondering, what the fuck are you doing? You're not living. Mm-hmm. You're not living. You're not living. He'll just go, I don't understand this person. So I'm not even out near people like that.
So I don't think that that's necessarily not living. Like if somebody wants to, eat chips and drink soft drink and just live in front of a TV or a computer and that's what they want to do for their life, then sure, they can do that for their life. It'll probably be kind of short, but if that's what they choose to do, then that's fine for them.
Some people, gaming is quite empowering.
Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, definitely,
They're better than they were in the schoolyard with the bully with the rah-rah-rah. So, it's
benefits, right? Yeah.
I actually feel like there's a thread that we would all agree with, or agree with. The thread is, so humans are humans.
Yeah.
And we've got stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
hopefully
what technology does, like it does in every other sphere, is it leverages stuff and it increases the rate. And so it's showing us more of who we already are.
Yeah.
Who we were in a cave.
Yeah.
And so there's a benefit where it shows us more clearly what's going on. The question is, what will we do about it? What will we do about it? So
because at the moment it's unfiltered, unmanaged, and you've got kids making childlike decisions coming from no real knowledge or understanding or wisdom from in their world. They're dealing with their emotions coming up and they're acting emotionally. We've already spoken about how emotions don't make good decisions. And they're coming from that world without the support of, of what we've learned through life, and living in that world as if it's the real world. Now we've got people committing suicide because of what somebody else said on this digital.
That was happening in the schoolyard. That was happening in the schoolyard. So the technology can facilitate more of it. Sure. Yeah. However, the failure is the support for that child. Yeah. That's the failure.
Mm.
It's not the technology. Yeah. It's the failure is that as a society, how are we standing up for and out for everyone else?
Yeah.
That's the... And so this is a distraction. It was said before. This is a commercial game.
Mm.
Right? This, I'm due to replace my phone in August. And I've been sucked back into the, what am I going to do? And I've decided today, I'm going low tech. Yeah. And that's going to make my life harder.
Are they still available?
Way, of course they are.
It's a niche. It's a whole other...
Because my daughter hasn't fulfilled her bargain. When she broke her screen, I got her a 60 buck Chinese piece of crap from Telstra.
Yeah. Aren't they still smartphones though?
Now, here's the... No, it's not. Oh. And you want to know the beauty of this?
I thought they were all
smartphones. I said, right, when you next help me in my office, the deal is she helps in the office, she gets the... When you say, I'll just get you a basic plan again. She's like, why bother? With this phone, why bother? So now she's accepted that she's got that phone. She can receive, but she doesn't even want a plan anymore.
Yeah.
Because there's no point. And I'm thinking, she's actually leading me in a way.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, now that's where I'm going. Now I don't know how the hell my life is going to look without this goddamn supercomputer.
It'll probably be better.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. I used to work with a sign writer. 65 years he'd been, that's how old he was. He'd been in the game for 50 odd years. And he said, I remember the days, Luke, where I'd get a letter in the mail and it'd say, I want an 8x4 sign with these letters on it. And he'd get out his little sketch pad, he'd sketch it up, sign it, put it back in the mail. It would go off a week later, then another week later, come back for a change. And
I love that.
He goes, there was just no pressure like it is now. That. You know, I used to get stuff done. And he said, the money he still earned, he ran his own business. He said, I earned just as much money back then as I would have now, but there's just all this, and he's all this pressure, his settings last minute, and he's the guy that would walk around and go, when chaos is ensuing, don't panic yet. That was his thing. And everybody go, what? And that's a lesson, and I envisage those letters, I'd like a sign of this size and this kind of color, and he'd put it back in an envelope and send it off, and he'd go then a week later, and he goes, mate, like a sign could take 6 weeks, but that's what it was. It just kind of was,
it created so much chaos with what do we call it, progress.
Do you know what he said was overwhelmed? When they introduced those fucking fax machines, the thing wouldn't stop ringing and sending these things. All of a sudden, I had five orders a day, and he was just going. And
the end of the wedge.
So there you go, eh?
The end of the wedge. That's fax machine. That is on a taken out Grand Alexander Bell. We'd all be sitting prettier today. So I think I've actually wrestled with this because I was an IT master. The one thing I have mastered in my life is managing servers. And the main reason why I was going to give a shit, that was when I had a really bad attitude. So if it was all down, I'd just go in and fix it.
Yeah.
Everyone else would freak out because it was e-commerce, it was credit cards and stuff, right? So at the end of that career, I was jaded. And I said, I'm done with tech. And now here I am more than 10 years later, I'm high tech as ever.
Yeah.
But I'm done again. And what you just said about that guy, it inspires me a little bit because I feel like the technology is about facilitating a larger population. So it's about allowing more of us to coexist in the same space. So I reckon there is a curve. I reckon we used to live shit lives, basically. We'd be subject to a monarch and we'd keep a tenth of our bloody crop, he'd take the rest, and we'd die of diseases and all that stuff. So we've come out of that into the industrial age where I think we've hit a peak. Somewhere there was a peak where there was a balance between technology and life. And I feel like we're over that, and population-wise we're over it, and it's just it's going to increase. The rate is going to increase.
Yeah, it's a very third industrial age now. And there's a doc I was watching the other night on SBS, and oh my God. Yeah.
That makes sense. Because even tech now is old school.
Yeah.
So, what does that mean? I'm not quite sure yet. However, I feel like this is about facilitating the masses. So we're talking about generalized problems, which are problems of the masses. And isn't it funny how human beings talk about the masses like they're not part of the masses?
Independent of it.
Yeah. So we don't eye very much when we speak. We go, oh, .. no, it's how I ..
So I'm putting my hand up. I've got that thing. And thank you, Google, for being such pricks and forcing my location on constantly. You have shown me to turn you off. I'm out.
You're either in or you're out with Google, mate. Balls and all. They know it all anyway. It's like,
it's not about what they know or they don't know. I have to choose.
Yeah.
And we've talked about it. Our kids are following us. They're following our lead.
Yeah.
I know my son a couple of times has asked me to turn my phone off. I've never had to ask him.
That's good.
I've asked my daughter a lot. And I've had to do deals with her where we both do it. My son's asked me a couple of times.
Yeah, I'm training my kids to ignore the phone. They go, oh, it's ringing. Yep, got it. Oh, but it's ringing.
Yeah, yeah.
They go, that's fine. Leave it. Don't touch it.
On the first one, they say, don't answer it on the weekend. Don't answer it. Who is it? They go, some say, well, might be someone I don't know. That's, don't answer it. Well, I don't. They might have wanted to speak to you. And I said, that's great. I want to speak to them. Right. Yeah. Choice. Yeah.
Although there's something that I didn't see coming, which was interesting. We introduced the Google Home Mini into our home, which I thought would be a bit of fun and interesting and test this thing out. And it can facilitate, you know, playing music and, you know, and just some easy stuff like that. Set alarms, you just talk to it. Yeah, whatever it is, there's a heap of features that would be useful. And now the kids get up in the morning and they say, hey, Google, what's the weather? And it answers them. Yeah. And they get up and they keep saying that all day long. They're talking to it about things. They want to know something. They ask it. And I'm like, it's not going to answer that for you. But they don't know that. Like, for them, it's like, it's normal. And I said to my son the other day, I said, I'm really curious. How long do you think that device has existed for? Like, how long do you think, you know, how long ago did someone make it? And he goes, oh, when I was born. And I thought, okay, that's not bad. So I thought he might have said forever. And he's 7 years old.
That is forever.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, forever. Because he kind of acts like it's been there forever, like the way he relates to it. And so he asked, so then he turns around and asked Google how long Google has been around for. And I'm well, that's kind of the proof that he's kind of, you know, he's in touch with that technology, and it's been around since 2016, 2 years.
Yeah.
And yet,
the device.
The device. Right. Not Google, but the device. Yeah. And the device told him that was the case. And I just thought that was really fascinating, the way that at 7 years old he relates to technology.
Yeah.
And it's just normal for him to talk to the house, as it were.
Yeah.
And get an answer about whatever he wants to ask it.
Yeah.
And it will be, it definitely will be. That's, you know, it's a different landscape, especially when they're older. They will be walking around the house going, well, you know, tell me about my day. There's a show called Black Mirror, and I think it's season 2, and they've got these implants in their head and their eyes, and they can, we can have a conversation now, and then 10 minutes later you can replay it, and it's like visually you can see it. You just think, nah, this could be possible. And people completely lose their mind. You know, oh, why did I say that? And see, that's that thinking. Yep. You know, they're inside their heads, replaying, they're replaying stuff. And then it measures your heart rate and tells you that, oh, look, you know, you shouldn't have done this, or you should have just kept your tone of voice lower, and it's giving them full self-coaching. They're just completely losing their mind. Like,
Not even asking for it, and it's
watch it, because I think it's crazy. Season 2, and there's a couple of tech episodes, and you will shit your pants. You'll go, this is this is close, and this is probably 2 years old, but you'll watch it and you'll go, well, this is real. This is
technology,
this is not far off, right?
This apart from the implants, this is George Orwell.
Yeah,
they had the ability to speak to people in their homes in 1984, so it's getting closer and closer.
So no one will leave their homes. The technology
is accelerating so fast. Implants could be within a couple of years.
It's already been done.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. Yeah, what kind of implants? There's various some implants that have been around for a long time. Doing it. We do it for ears, for example. We've got implants for better hearing.
You have a look.
They're working on site.
There's a company in US though that has offered people RFID to be able to start to transact in the company, and people are trying.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's going to be a conversation that occurs around the ethicalness and you know, of whatnot, of when we start implanting, but we're already there. Because if you look at the athletes, you know, you lose your legs now. You can sometimes run faster with those artificial spring built things.
Yeah.
You can outrun a full bodied person, and that means that if he can compete in a normal running race, athletes are going to be chopping their legs off to put those on to run in to go faster.
So that's Cyberpunk with Gibson.
That's what's happening there. We're already there right now.
So he was around late 80s and he was talking about the implants and getting your body modified.
Yep.
Optimized.
I'm all for that from a health perspective to keep you surviving. If you're not going to contribute to the world and you're just going to shit on it continually, and you know, you lose your arm and they give you a new one, or I'm probably not down for that, but I'm kind of thinking, and if anyone's on board here, we're looking for sponsorships. I need a holding of land potentially on a hill, with some, you know, some soil. We'll start a Viking colony.
Colony.
Okay.
So I need people.
My son.
Some funds.
Yeah. My son is the archetypal Viking.
Oh, nice.
He absolutely is.
So we'll get strong, live off the land, we'll push ploughs, yeah, we'll grow crops.
I'm up for that.
Yeah, hemp's huge, so there you go, there's another business aspect to it. We'll have nothing to do with it except grow it and put it in carts and send it down the hill to market. Yeah, I'm all for that. Back to basics.
Back to nature.
Yeah. Have your phones and bionic arms and implants.
Well, cool. So if we're not here for our next episode, don't be surprised. We're in the bush and we've dug in and we're up to our arms in green.
Yeah. All right. And what do they call it? Connolly? Yeah. Well, it's a Viking Connolly. So yeah.
That's the Irish version.
Yeah. Nice one.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I hope you found this interesting, entertaining, or something else. As I said, you can be guaranteed that we enjoyed delivering it to you. So
you're welcome. Have a good day, boys.
Yep.
Ciao.
Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Yeah. That's funny.